Hello, I'm Bill Salas. It is January 8, 2021. I know, like me, many of you are very concerned about the future of this country going into this new year. So today I'm going to talk to you about the spiritual condition of America as we enter into 2021. I will be teaching primarily from my book entitled The Now Prophecies. Inside of this book, I have three chapters devoted toward America in Bible prophecy. Now, the now prophecies are the unfulfilled ancient biblical predictions that appear to be imminent, which means they could happen now. These foretellings have either minor or no remaining preconditions inhibiting them from happening at the present time. Even in 2021, we could see some of these events happen. The primary events that I'm talking about would be the disaster in Iran predicted in Jeremiah chapter 49, dealing with Elam. A destruction of Damascus in Isaiah 17. The toppling of Jordan in Jeremiah chapter 49 verses 1 through 6. Terrorization of Egypt in Isaiah 19. The final Arab-Israeli war, which is defined in Psalm 83. The decline of America, which is my topic today. And the expansion of Israel into the promised land. And the vanishing of the Christians, commonly called the rapture. Now, there are four primary reasons to expect a decline of America in the end times, probably starting relatively quickly in light of what's going on in this country. Number one, the revived Roman Empire. This is the predominant factor in the end times, not a superpower nation, but a revived Roman Empire, out from which we're told in Daniel 9:26, the Antichrist will emerge to rule over the world order. So we don't really see a place for a superpower country like America. Now, that's one of the lesser important reasons, but let's talk about the abandonment wrath. The USA is currently experiencing this abandonment wrath as it is specified in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25. I will go over that. American ungodliness. The USA has said goodbye to God. Now, this is not a new thing. This has happened over the last six decades. Also, the USA, I believe it is in Ezekiel 38, and we are a protester in that scenario. I put us among the cowardly young lions of Tarshish. I will talk about that in part two of this message. Now, America was established by God for three primary reasons. One was to be a safe haven for the Jews, and we still have nearly 7 million Jews in this country. We were called to be a beacon of Christianity to the world, and of course the American missionaries did spread the gospel far and wide throughout the 18th century and early 19th century. And the rebirth of Israel in 1948, our president, Harry Truman at that time, was one of the first world leaders to recognize officially Israel as a nation. I have written an article called The Biblical Indictment of America. I would encourage you to read it. You can Google it. I will be teaching also from this article. And it gets into the indictment of America. It puts America on trial. Abandonment wrath. Let's start right here. This is very important. The wrath of God in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25 is called down from heaven by ungodliness. As a country becomes ungodly, it becomes unrighteous. It's a downward spiral. Unrighteousness prevails, and in the unrighteousness becomes the suppression of the truth, namely the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John 14:6. That gets suppressed in this scenario. And then ultimately, the worship of the creation rather than the creator himself. That is the warnings of the Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Bible prophecy expert Mark Hitchcock writes about this in his book, The Late Great United States. On page 94, he says, Romans 1, 18 through 25. Sets forth the character and cause of God's judgment against a civilization. In short, these verses tell us that when people willfully reject God, he eventually reveals his wrath against them. People can't turn their backs on God with impunity. And folks, I'm going to show you through Supreme Court decisions that we have willfully rejected God. So we're told in Romans chapter 1:24, 1:26, and 1:28 the following. When the abandonment wrath starts to come, God gives a nation over to the lust of the flesh. It's given over to sexual perversion. And then it gets into vile passions. The country is given over to vile passions homosexuality, and then it is given over to a debased mind, moral decadence. Now, the word for given over is paradidiomi in the Greek. It can be looked at under two different formats. One is it could be you've got an untrained dog and you just let him loose off the leash and look what happens. He runs wild. Or even more forcefully, it's like a child wants to go down the slide and his father pushes him down the slide so he can get down the slide quicker. There's a couple of different ways to look at that, but the bottom line is a country is given over to these three things as the wrath of God has abandoned that nation and is experienced in these types of things. So when we see that the Lord, we can say that the Lord has already abandoned a nation when you see these types of symptoms inside of that society. The Lord has already given it over to judgment. The Lord is already revealing his wrath from heaven. And folks, I believe that is the case in America spiritually, presently. The application of Romans, here's how it lays out. God steps back, lowers the hedge of protection, and allows evil to multiply, resulting in a sexual revolution, a plague of homosexuality, society being delivered over to a depraved mind. I believe this is, again, symptomatic of our country as we go into 2021. Let's talk about American ungodliness, stage two. Remember, it starts with ungodliness, then it leads to unrighteousness. That's actually stage one of the four stages. We have said goodbye to God. I'm going to show you Supreme Court decisions where we actually said, God, we do no longer need you in this country, in our schools. We don't need our children to be reading your Bible, praying to you, etc. These are not just opinions. These are actually Supreme Court decisions over the last six decades. We'll go back to the time of John F. Kennedy. In 1962, we had a court case called Engle versus Vital, which removed prayer in the public schools. In other words, God, we do not need our children to actually communicate with you in prayer any longer. We got this covered without you. 1963, the next year in Abington School District versus Shrimp, they removed the Bible reading in the public schools. In other words, we don't need our children to pray to you, nor do we need them to read your word. Now, 5 months later, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Now, I'm not saying that's why he was assassinated, but I'm just making a statement of fact. Now, let's move the clock forward a decade into 1973, and we see during Nixon's presidency that abortions were legalized in the Roe versus Wade. Now, we are aborting approximately 1 million babies per year. This is legal. And then, of course, Nixon was impeached in 1974. Again, just a statement of fact. I'm not saying that this is why. Let's talk about Jimmy Carter's presidency in 1980. Stone versus Graham is when the removal of the Ten Commandments came in the classrooms. Again, we've cleared God out of the school systems. 2003 with George W. Bush, Lawrence versus Texas struck down the sodomy law in Texas, which by extension invalidated sodomy laws in 13 other states. Then we've got Barack Obama, where two devastating things happened. In 2013, the United States versus Windsor struck down the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA. Now, that DOMA had stated that one man should be married to one woman. Now, they could not defend the constitutionality of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and they struck it down. Now, that is the biblical model. Genesis 2 tells us, and Jesus even quoted it himself, that a man is to leave his father and mother and to cleave together with a woman, it's his wife. And what God puts together, let no man set asunder. That is the biblical model of marriage. Now, when you can't defend that, then you can redefine marriage. And that's exactly what has happened in 2015. Obergefell versus Hodges came the approval of the same-sex marriages. These happened during Barack Obama's presidential term. So these are the Supreme Court's cases over six decades that have gotten us to where we're at right now. Clearly, we have said goodbye to God, and he has abandoned this country. We are experiencing his wrath. The ungodliness has led to unrighteousness, to the suppression of truth, and to the worship of the creation over the Creator. Now, I want to talk about some situations here. One of America's greatest evangelists, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, before Donald Trump was elected in March of 2016, this was shortly after the same-sex marriages were approved in 2015. He said, we have taken God out of the political debate. I want to put him back in. And he's absolutely correct. As I've showed you with the Supreme Court decisions, no one was listening to God anymore or calling upon God on a national level. So he's trying to change that. And then his sister, during that year, was forwarding the mantra that was pretty popular, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Many of you are familiar with it. And Graham Lotz, Franklin Graham's sister, said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, nothing wrong with that prayer. I know many of you were praying it. And then Donald Trump wins the election in 2016. And later that month, Franklin Graham came out and said that he believed God answered many of the prayers of American Christians, answered the prayers of many American Christians. And, of course, he was probably alluding to hoping that this would be the case, that God would hear from heaven, forgive the sins of America, and heal their land. But, of course, we've been going through a tenuous last 9 months with the COVID vaccine, COVID virus. The land has not been healed. Small businesses are closing left and right. Churches have been shut down for the most part. They're trying to open again, but under great scrutiny. So I don't believe that is the case. Matter of fact, when Trump was elected, I realized we've still got abandonment and wrath taking place. I thought to myself, Daniel 2:20 and 21 would probably be more applicable because it's God who changes times and seasons, removes and raises up kings, and he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Now, Donald Trump came into office, and what did he do? He moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. He gave acknowledged sovereignty to Israel over the Golan Heights. He backed out of the Iran nuclear deal. These are things very critically important to the Middle East, of which will have repercussions, in my estimation, that have not yet come. So I believe Donald Trump certainly had an important role, but it wasn't because we invited God back into our country, and he's not draped in the American flag singing the Star Spangled Banner in heaven. I don't believe that's the case. Matter of fact, this Donald Trump is fighting for his life as a president. As I speak to you right now, the elections are contested. The nation's capital was recently stormed. The outlook looks pretty grim from those perspectives. Reverend Graham came out, Franklin Graham, on January 6th after the Georgia Senate race was acknowledged that the two Democratic senators had won, and he said, and this is a CSN news report, God's judgment is coming, for the sins of our nation are great. And he was very concerned about it. On that same day, Dr. David Reagan, of the founder of Lamb and Lion Ministries, the host of Question Prophecy TV, he came out with an article and a new email newsletter, America's Future, Hope or Despair. He said, America's future looks very dim as the forces advocating moral depravity and contempt for God's word prepare to take over the White House and Congress. Religious expression will become an obsessive target with the aim of forcing it into the closet, declaring that it is appropriate only within the walls of churches, synagogues, and mosques. Efforts will be made to reinterpret the constitutional guarantee of the free exercise of religion. He advocated that we should be looking to these things to happen in that article, an increase in sexual perversion, an oppression of religious freedoms, more liberal abortion laws, lack of support for Israel. We'll watch out for that. Reparations for blacks and homosexuals, tighter restrictions on hate speech, which would come against abortion, homosexuality, and same-sex marriage and proclamation of Jesus Christ. Those expressions would be considered hate speech. I've added to the list below, you can see, an increased tendency towards socialism and globalism because, as I said, the revived Roman Empire will surface, Antichrist will come out, and he will rule over a global order. We're heading in that direction. I need to introduce a few things to you as we try to make a decision on what's going on with this country, the spiritual condition of it. There's a couple principles that the prophet Jeremiah put forward that are very applicable, and it has some historical examples. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 8, the Nineveh principle, I'll call it. It says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. So repentance, national repentance, can cause God to relent from bringing forward judgment. Now, we saw this historical example in one of the best cases around 760 BC at the time of Jonah, when he was told to go to Nineveh in the Assyrian Empire. They were very wicked, one of the most wicked kingdoms at the time. And, of course, you know the story. Jonah didn't want the job. He headed in the opposite direction, got swallowed in the belly of a well, came out, but he did ultimately go to Nineveh. And in Jonah 3:4, we hear what his message was. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the king of Nineveh and the people of Nineveh had a national repentance. An amazing story. They took Jeremiah's warning to heart. And we find out 6 verses later in Jonah chapter 3 verses 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Now, ultimately, around 612 BC, the Assyrian Empire got wicked again, and they were destroyed by the Medes. But they didn't experience that 40-day judgment because of a national repentance. Could America have such a Nineveh moment? Well, we certainly hope so. But all the other things still are in place, the Supreme Court decisions, the abandonment and wrath of God, etc. So there's another principle we also need to look at in contrast. And that's the, I call it the Jerusalem principle in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. And God said to Jeremiah, and in the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it. If it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice. Now remember, we have kicked God out of the schools, out of our prayers at the schools, the Ten Commandments out of the classrooms. And Franklin Graham is saying, I want to bring God back into the public debate. So it says, if they do not obey my voice, which I think is the case and the concern Franklin Graham had, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit. I will relent from concerning the good with which I said I would benefit. And in other words, I will abandon it. And the good that I would give it is no longer available to it. It got so bad in the time of Jeremiah that the people of Jerusalem and Judah, which were his people back in that time in the southern kingdom, they were so bad, Jeremiah was told 3 times, here's one of them, to not even pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or a prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. He goes on to say, therefore you, Jeremiah, shall speak all these words to them in Judah, but they will not obey. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. I have something on the screen here I want to tell you in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14, and Jeremiah 14, verses 11 and 12, are the other instances where God told Jeremiah to not even pray for his people of the southern kingdom. Actually, at that point, Jeremiah kicked into the gear of warning the people of Judah that they would be going into 70 years of captivity, because that was the destiny, the judgment that was coming forward because of the various things that were going on. And so we find out in Jeremiah 19, the indictment and the verdict of Judah at the time that caused the point for their prayers to fall on God's deaf ears. The indictment of Judah, in summary, is the people forsook the Lord and alienated him from Judah. They worshiped false gods instead. They sacrificed the innocent blood of their children to the false god Baal, child sacrifice. It appalled the Lord. The verdict, therefore, was rendered in the verses Jeremiah 19, 6 through 9. A judgment in the form of a slaughter would come as sequenced below. The counselors of Judah would provide foolish counsel. The people of Judah would be killed by the swords of their enemies. That would be the Babylonian conquest. Their corpses would be eaten by the vultures and carnivorous animals. The land would be desolated and contaminated with plagues. The survivors would be cannibals in order to survive. They would eat their own sons and daughters due to their despair. So let's go back and hear what God said to Jeremiah in that wicked condition of the people of Judah. Here's what he said in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 17 through 19. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven, the pagan goddess. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? That's the reality of the situation. They were shameful. Now, if Jeremiah were alive today, would he be saying this to us in America? Therefore, do not pray for Americans, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I will not hear you. Do you not see the forbidden biblical boundaries our Supreme Court has crossed over in the city of Washington, D.C.? The sale of aborted baby parts by Planned Parenthood of the Pacific Southwest? The LGBT gay pride parades in the streets of San Francisco and San Diego? Very interesting. I mean, I'm not saying at this point do not pray for this country, but the Jerusalem principle is something we need to be very concerned about, because if we don't have an end of a moment, and that's not looking very hopeful at this point in time, the flip side of that coin is the Jerusalem principle. Now, there was another prophet, Hosea, to the northern kingdom, and the northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria in 722 BC. He had some very interesting things to say that I think are applicable for us too, especially believers in the Lord in America, Christians. Hosea 4:1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." Hosea was speaking to all of the inhabitants of the land, the charge against them. Those who believed in God and those who were pagan and did not believe in God. All of the inhabitants were to hear this message, this warning, this charge. 4:14 says, "Therefore, all of the people who do not understand will be trampled." Trampled by the Assyrian conquest in 722 BC. All of them, everyone who lived there, believers in God or not. He goes on to say in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Those would be the people who also would be trampled in 722 BC for lack of knowledge. "Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being a priest before me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." So listen, the knowledge of the Lord is available to us through Bible prophecy. The warnings I'm sharing with you right now, these are abandonment, wrath. We've said goodbye to God. That's why he's done us the favor of saying goodbye, because we said we wanted him to leave. He's abandoned us. We're experiencing the abandonment wrath. Listen, if you don't get the memo, and you'll be destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, God is going to bring judgment on this country, in my estimation.